Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Congratulations, San Bernardino, California. You were today's winner in the NRA Death Lottery. Yeah. You, San Bernardino, and your nonprofit center for serving developmentally disabled people, you drew the short stick today in the ongoing insurgency that is created and driven by the National Republican Rifle Association. It's you. Why I say that? Well, you probably have already figured it out. You know, there's been another eruption of firearm freedom in San Bernardino, California today. Some other city will have to step up to take San Bernardino's place at the firearm cylinder-shaped roulette wheel furnished and staffed by the National Republican Rifle Association. Because San Bernardino is busy right now. Because not only did three heavily armed, masked, and bulletproof, vested, armored individuals invade today, but after they had committed their carnage, in which there may be as many as 20 people dead, well, after that, they got in cars and they left. And there is apparently a massive manhunt underway to try to find them before they can do something else. Because the only reason you try to make a clean getaway like that is if you hope to do it some more. Somewhere else. Right? And here's a little something. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. This was going to be Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and there was all kinds of goofy religion crap that we were going to get into. But it seems that this program has turned into the goddamn murder report every evening. I don't want it to. I don't like it to. There's other stuff to talk about. But no, we got to talk about somebody else losing the NRA death lottery. Because I don't... Honest to God, I don't know how to say, hey, you know what? I mean, we got some environmental problems. Or, hey, look at Senator Snowball from Oklahoma. Why, what a silly schmuck he is. Golly gee. I don't know what. I'm lost. I got nothing. Thank you, Jeremy in Vermont, noting loud and clear on TuneIn on this somber night, Bob. Jesus Christ, when the fuck is enough enough? I don't know. Lottie asking a question. Why do they go after regular people instead of bankers and the 1%? Well, because I suspect they don't think the bankers and the 1% are the problem. Look, they went after a facility that serves developmentally disabled people. Does that have any? And I'm not speaking directly to you, Lottie. Although I'm sure you'll have an answer. Does that have any historical back references? Mm-hmm. But then again, there was a Christmas holiday banquet apparently taking place at the venue for today's NRA death lottery. And it was a Christmas banquet for county employees there of, what is that, Riverside County? County employees. In other words, the government. And here is yet another function of how things changed. Once upon a time, if a person with a gun went into somewhere and used said gun to commit a killing, then if another person a little bit later saw someone with a gun, they would then say to the local constabulary, which, by the way, posse comitatus notwithstanding, we should understand is part of that Second Amendment well-regulated militia. Everybody says, well, see, yeah, the well-regulated militia was replaced by the National Guard. And that's our pat stock answer. But the fact of the matter is, there was not a real live, honest-to-God police force anywhere in the United States at the time of the drafting of the Constitution of the United States. You understand? So just as the military, as it became more formalized and institutionalized, took over some of those militia operations, so too for the police. So once upon a time, if you saw a guy with a gun, you would call the police and say, hey, police, there's a guy with a gun in my neighborhood. There's a guy with a gun. Blah, 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 blah. And the police would go and investigate because, you see, that would not be a good thing. That would be out of the ordinary for somebody to be walking around with a firearm, and you'd have a halfway decent chance of catching the bad guy. But now, if you call police, as, for instance, we found out in, Colorado a couple of weeks ago, and you say, there's a guy walking around my neighborhood with an assault rifle, the 911 dispatch operator will say to you, well, that person is absolutely allowed by law to do that, and they are merely exercising their Second Amendment rights. Quit panicking, you sissy, lily-livered, pinko, panty waste, and go about your business, citizen. So, because now, you call it, hey, you got a guy walking around with an assault rifle. It's probably not the guys who shot up the San Bernardino social services building. I mean, everybody's got one of those. Because freedom. Merca. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God. How do you report this? For some reason or another, what happened today seems to have taken me differently than others have. I am most assuredly, as we have been warned not to become, I am most assuredly not numb to this. because this goes all the way to the core of my being, it feels like. For some reason or another, today feels like it challenges my ability to do this thing. It ain't okay. And I'm beside myself to figure out something resembling a reasonable and rational response to this. But I keep coming back to what I say again and again and again and again every time, every time, every time, every time, every time this happens. So what? It happened today. It happened a couple of days ago. It happened a couple of days before that. And it's going to keep on happening because we don't recognize what the it that is happening is. Now, over at Charlie Pierce's Esquire Politics blog, he had a post today. The title is "Midwestern Town Suddenly Regrets Electing a Stand-Up Comedian as Mayor." The subhead is "Here's Some Stupid for Lunch." That's a recurring feature on Mr. Pierce's blog, and he does he's one of the best political observers in the country, if not the best, as I've said time and again. And he relates the story of a dude, a dude in Illinois. Hillsboro, Illinois, who happens to be the mayor of Hillsboro, Illinois, Mayor Drew Hastings, who is apparently a former stand-up comedian, and the people of Hillsboro elected him mayor. And he posted something to Facebook that has gotten him in some hot water. And yes, Jeremy, you're right. He who shan't be named seemed to favor the killing of the mentally ill as well. Oh, I know. I know. Not yet, Gerald. Not yet. And what Hastings pointed out was, or what Hastings said, typed, what have you, "When are people going to figure out that we're in a revolution in this country? Blacks have all but formally declared war on whites. Ideological types are fighting with Planned Parenthood. There's violence over immigration, Muslim extremism, and our own government are at war with its citizens. This isn't lone wolf stuff. It isn't crazy with a gun. It isn't domestic terrorism. These are all skirmishes in a revolution that's here. Pick your side and pick your battles. We are about 3 steps away from all bets are off." This guy is obviously... What's the phrase I'm looking for? I need a little help here.
You dick!
There we go. Mm-hmm. Because he is. But there's a larger point here in which he's only halfway wrong, only halfway nuts. Only halfway dangerously unhinged. And that's this. I have said for a long time, for very many years, I said we were in a cold civil war. Well, that civil war is getting hot. And what I pointed out to Dr. Bill toward the end of his program today, when I mentioned what was going on in San Bernardino, I said, "Dr. Bill, I try to tell people, and I don't know the degree of success I have in it, but I try to explain to people that we have a miscast vision of the present that comes from our vision of the past. If you say civil war to an American... Even people who are of immigrant stock, who whose families came here well after 1865. It conjures a vision of one side wearing blue and another side wearing gray and a whole bunch of people, generals on both sides, and they line up in Napoleonic formations and blast it out with each other until one side wins and one side loses. And even in the broader sweep of history, that is not your typical civil war. Civil wars are horrifying things, most particularly because they have a way of becoming asymmetrical in a hurry. Even in the American Civil War, at the same time that we talk about the Army of Northern Virginia, the Army of the Potomac, this army, that army, there are also stories to be told of Mosby's Raiders and those murderous freaks in Missouri who ran like an undercurrent through that bloodletting. And that is more often than not what civil war looks like. And I'm afraid that that's what I don't want it to be. And if I'm casting myself as some sort of a get him with the butterfly net loon, then I apologize. In fact, I would welcome the opportunity to be really, really wrong about this. But my understanding of history tells me that this is how civil wars begin to look. And so while the jackass in Hillsboro, Illinois was wrong, no, it's not the Muslims coming after us or those people at war with, you know, us good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian white people. No. Because, among other things, if the guy in Hillsboro, Illinois is correct, then the white folks are winning. You know, a whole bunch of the people interviewed in the wake of today's shooting in San Bernardino had vowels at the ends of their names. Rivera, Hispanic, Latino origin names. Was that part of what happened? I don't know. I mean, really, Do you think ISIL, ISIS, Daesh, whatever, the bad headloppers who aren't our friends, as opposed to the Saudis who are the good headloppers who are our friends, you know, the outfit that's going to execute a woman, murder her in the name of the state for having unapproved sexual relations outside the confines of upstanding Quran believing Muslim traditional family values marriage. Would ISIS go after a social services center? Because I'm guessing no. There are, by what I read, about 200,000 people in San Bernardino, California. And it doesn't seem a particularly relevant target for international terrorism. Meanwhile, as this broadcast proceeds live, our buddy Ron in the only recently frozen north is monitoring radio traffic. He has a skill set that makes him good at that. Our buddy Mark, the former Miami-Dade police officer, did the same with the Colorado Springs case last week. There's a skill set involved in being able to decode what's going back and forth on the scanner. Ron letting me know that a car has been stopped. One is down inside the car, one is down outside the car, and one is on the run. One officer is down, but it was a ricochet with no serious harm done. So we're probably going to come up with dead guys and no answers. I'm licked. I got nothing. I don't. Well, as Carol pointed out to me, you're spot on, Bob. Maybe you're sort of stymied because you can't catch your fucking breath between from one shooting to the next. And that makes as much sense as anything does. But is it right or wrong, or does it matter how we refer to this? Because like I said, civil wars have a way of taking on an asymmetrical nature, especially under modern circumstances. And if it's a Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs or a social services agency serving developmentally disabled people in San Bernardino, or a church in Charleston, South Carolina, or a grocery store parking lot in Tucson, or a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, or. At what point in time do we try to find a different kind of language with which to describe these situations? Because language does matter, and how we talk about them matters, because how we talk about them dictates how we will respond to them. From where I sit, I cannot help but see the National Rifle Association as a central player in this emerging insurgency. No one has tried to take away anyone's guns. No one's tried to take away anyone's bullets. The only thing that's happened relative to firearms in the Obama administration for the last nearly 8 years is that we've expanded gun rights, so that federal gun rights, so that you can take your Freedom Protector into national parks and national forests when you go on a hike, because only you can prevent grizzly bear attacks with your Freedom Protector. Wolverines! Mm-hmm. On the other hand, a little memo has come out from the Fraternal Order of Police. The National Fraternal Order of Police has sent a piece of correspondence to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. And the National Fraternal Order of Police wants Roger Goodell to lift the NFL's ban on concealed carry at football stadiums. Mm-hmm. This story was published this morning by the Buckeye Firearms Association at 7 a.m. Today, I am writing on behalf of the members of the Fraternal Order of Police to urge you to rescind this policy, which weakens the safety and security of NFL players, personnel, and fans. The terrorist attacks and threats of attacks from organizations like the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant are selecting targets based on the amount of death and injury they can inflict, mass murder, and casualty events. Well-attended venues and areas are being deliberately targeted by the radical killers who do not intend or expect to survive the assault. Law enforcement, even when working actively with highly trained and skilled security professionals, cannot be certain that all threats will be detected and neutralized. As you know, the FOP does not understand and does not agree with the League on this matter. I know you cannot compel all venues and facilities to change their policies with respect to lawful carriage of firearms, but you can lift the current prohibition, which I strongly urge you to do. So, just to review, the National Fraternal Order of Police wants off-duty cops to be able to carry concealed weapons while they're in the stands of an NFL football game. And let's say your off-duty cop has a couple of brewskis and he stumbles on the steps and bang! And somebody gets all dead. Because ISIS. Well, Buckeye Firearms Association, you bunch of turds. What happened in San Bernardino was probably not ISIS, probably not Muslims. In fact, they were reported to be white guys with lawfully acquired firearms. The Glenn Beck Program, brought to you by the Pocket Shotgun. Yeah. Go ahead, Goodell? Roger Goodell. Go ahead. Lift the NFL ban on concealed carry in stadiums. It'll be great. Because a bunch of drunken assholes in a football stadium, well, we'll be able to get our violence porn on and our sports worship at the same time. It's a win-win time saver. Absolutely. And, you know, say somebody sitting in the stands there, let's say maybe he's a Steelers fan, and he says, "Fuck the fucking Browns." Yeah, tell that to Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson. Bang! Mm-hmm. You know, as Jeremy points out, what if someone with a slightly darker skin tone or a funny accent claps or yells too loudly and scares the poor white folk? Bang, bang, dead! Because, again, this is a contest in which the white folks are winning. With a little bit of background, Tim from L.A. points out that San Bernardino, California, is a red city, so to speak, so the shooting is no real surprise. San Berto is popular for meth and drag racing, and the people are quite poor, too, so the shooting is kind of a surprise, as it is California, but it's well expected because it's San Bernardino. Oh, and there are a lot of churches, and I don't mean chicken only, out there. If you want a taste of the South, San Berto is your town in California. Oh, and we have a small enclave of the Klan, though they tend to keep to themselves as more and more black and brown folks move in. Okay, so, yeah, that. Our buddy Steve in New York says, "I, for one, am scared that I'm becoming too used to this, that I'm losing any sense of shock or surprise. Bob, when I saw it again, I couldn't actually believe it was real." Is this the definition of surreal? If it isn't, it's damned well approaching it, Steve. And a big old sissy liberal that I am, when I saw the news breaking, the first person to mention it was our buddy Ron from the recently frozen North. I felt like I was on the verge of tears. It begins to resemble, although it doesn't, it begins to resemble, say, PTSD, or what in the First World War was called shell shock. This idea that after you've been subjected to a barrage of unending explosions of massive ordnance around you, that after a while you just begin to get a little shaky and unable to cope. And I'm not anywhere near anywhere that the anywhere that the firing's going on. This is deer season in West Bicol, Virginia, Stan. And so there's constantly gunfire going off in the neighborhood here, such as it is, because people are out filling their freezers with Bambi. And they're using the term is used by people who have no real understanding of firearms. They're using high-powered rifles. Well, let me know as quick as you find a low-powered rifle, okay? But and they make a big boom. And some people shotgun hunt, and that's a different kind of boom. And so you get kind of used to that, but I can't get used to this. A little bit of lightness, a little bit of humor. Jack in Shreveport says, I can't help it. Every time I hear Buckeye, I think the Buckeye News Hawk Award. Hey, congratulations on that proud pig, Les. It's the Silver Sow, Johnny. Right you are. And of course, we are well advised that if these shooters turn out to be white right-wing dudes, they will be deemed crazy gunmen, not domestic terrorists. Because you can't be a terrorist unless you're Muslim or black or something that somehow is askance the gender ethnic norm established by white privilege murka. Did you see how that works? I mentioned Steve's note from New York. Well, we have multiple Steves in the Horn Family Commune congregation. And it was yesterday when we had a note from Steve over there. I guess Steve's gotten the news by now. When he said, and I'm going to read it to you again, I know that you, as all of us here, are exasperated beyond belief with the ongoing and incredible epidemic of gun madness that is gripping the country like never before. You asked at some point Monday evening, I'm sure in utter frustration as rhetorically, whether there would ever come a time or an instance of such violence that could finally make us go ahead and do the right thing. For some reason, your words suddenly crystallized for me an attitude I've held for some time without ever wishing to admit it. For me, it ended at last with the horror of Sandy Hook and with the absolute disgrace of yet again nothing being done to address the insanity. Words, 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 posturing in words. But long before that, there was Columbine, wasn't there? Just to name one other in a long list of schoolyard tragedies. In a country where such a reasonable thing as an assault weapons ban has an expiration date. And here I am, says Steve in China, anxiously awaiting the next fusillade. Well, onward to better kills, I suppose, Steve wrote. And I think that we assume maybe we get a week's break between these things. But we don't. We don't. And I know Steve in China must feel the same way. Because I say this every time. You know, we can talk about this, but it's going to happen again. And after that, it's going to happen again. And after that, it's going to happen again. And after that, it's going to happen again. Because we don't do anything about the National Rifle Association. And we maintain this fiction that we have to be oh so solicitous and tender-hearted toward the lawful gun owners who just want to keep firearms because freedom and because Jesus and because masturbation. That the lawful firearms owners are somehow, you know, separate from the problem we have. Well, they're not. And I admit it. Hello, I'm a hypocrite. I admit it. I am a lawful firearm owner. I am the owner of a shotgun because I live in rural West Virginia where the damn things are tools. Okay? And once upon a time I also hunted, but I would never take a 12-gauge into the woods in spring gobbler season around here because that's just murder incorporated. But I'm one of them. But at least I don't maintain the fiction that somehow my feelings have to come ahead of the feelings of someone grieving their murdered loved one. Because it is all those lawful gun owners who are part of the problem, who enable the problem. Because since their tender sensibilities can't be offended, that means that we have to create a safe space in which people who shoot up social service centers can get goddamn guns. Ron informs me they are now clearing a neighborhood in the area because of a pipe bomb. Or that's what radio traffic is reporting. It just keeps going and going and going. It's kind of like the Energizer Bunny of crime sprees. Carol points out, live executions are just a matter of time. Americans love reality TV. Hey, cue up Idiocracy. Monday Night Rehabilitation comes on right after Ow My Balls. Carol further observes, white men in America are having such a difficult time because women won't stay in their place silently, gays won't go back in the closet, the poors won't just die, and the wrong coloreds are way too uppity. Gun violence is the language of the frustrated white man. Yeah. Yeah. And as Robert up near Morgantown notes, Republicans will just call this another unfortunate incident and then do nothing. That do nothing part is actually confirmed. Truly. Oh, and thanks very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa, who helped out the fundraising this evening without me even having to ask or mention it. Thank you. Thank you, Asa. Thank you so much. Because this is a listener-supported effort at broadcasting, and we do try to keep our requests as low as humanly possible. I mean, frankly, there are equipment needs here that would change things rather dramatically beyond the couple of gizmos that we had to get on the air with for Malloy. The old phone processor is a paperweight. A new phone processor is about $3,000, but we could make telephone access to the program considerably better with one of those. But we try to raise just $200 every evening. $200 among our community every evening to keep all of this going because there are monumental bills. The telephony and the internet bills are brutal. We try to raise $200 an evening. And thank you, Asa, for getting us started. I mean, I saw, and you know, it's not jealousy or mean-spiritedness or anything, but I saw an email, blast email, that came through from Daily Kos earlier today, and there's some people doing great work over at Daily Kos. I don't know how much real people who really write stuff for Daily Kos get paid, or if, like Huffington Post, they do get paid at all. But I got a solicitation today that said, Ad revenue alone can't support Daily Kos, and it hasn't for a few years now. Contributions from readers like you make up one-third of our annual revenue, and Daily Kos needs to... Okay, you might want to get the hockey puck or maybe some smelling salts or something. Daily Kos needs to raise $273,131 to close the books on 2015 between now and December 31st. And then the email notes, if everyone reading this email gave a dollar, the fundraiser would be over in a day. So, hey, do we need to raise $3,000 for a phone box and $200 a day just to keep the internet turned on and the mics hot and the packets passing, the electrons electrolyzing and whatever. So any and all help is much, much welcome. And in point of fact, yes, there is a continuing goal of adding new subscribers at $10 a month, which works out to about 17 cents a program, less than 17 cents a program at $10 a month, new subscribers. We're trying to get to 400, so I never have to do this anymore. If we got 400 $10 a month subscribers, I'd never have to do this in the middle of a program again. And wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. But we seem terribly, terribly insignificant when you compare us to the $273,131 that Daily Kos needs to raise by the end by December 31st in order to just stay out there being Daily Kos. I've got a note here. Issue this as an anonymous challenge. You're doing a great job this evening considering the challenge of the events involved. There's a $100 matching challenge offer on the table for the next $100 that comes in. Your 1 becomes 2, your 2, 4, your 5, 10, 10, 20, 20, 40, 50 becomes 100. And gosh, your 100 would become 200 if that's what comes in. Thank you very kindly to our anonymous challenger. That's how we keep this going. And if I sat here and ticked off all the bills that are waiting, you'd go, wow. Mm-hmm. So thank you again very much for making that challenge. We have to meet the challenge in order for the challenge to work, but thank you for making it. Steve with an email says, subject line, crime spree. This is not a crime spree. We need to call this what it is, a terrorist plot attack, and I agree. But even we get trapped in our own language. Uh-oh, now, this never portends well. I've got an email here from Ron and Raleigh. Bob. And remember, Ron and Raleigh is the only one who gets to use Bob. Don't you realize that it's too soon after the incident to speak of gun control? It's probably a false flag anyway. Yep, probably a false flag. A bunch of sissy panty-waist liberals out there shooting up a social services agency just so we can make the NRA, those God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, patriotic patriots, Wolverines! And it looked bad. Note from Tim from L.A. Hey, Bob. Wow. Imagine that. There were more mass shootings than days in 2015 in the U.S. We may suck when it comes to literacy. We may suck when it comes to health care. We may suck when it comes to life expectancy for children. But we are... number one, USA, in death when it comes to firearms. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, no comment from the right and no comment from Carly. after I asked her about the Planned Parenthood shooting. Of course not. But really, there have been more mass shootings than days in 2015. And maybe, just maybe, that explains this sense of just crippling, gut-bending, bowel-watering anguish that attends all of this. And whatever we call it, crime spree, terrorist plot, whatever, the one thing nobody calls it, nobody in the for-profit media, nobody calls it predictable. The people with law school educations don't say reasonable, foreseeable. See, that's another thing that makes this an aspect of an asymmetrical civil war. Because wherever one of these goddamn things happens, it is now, here, in the waning days of a blood-soaked 2015, reasonable and foreseeable any damned where it happens. It's reasonable and foreseeable and predictable at Planned Parenthood anywhere in the country. It is reasonable and foreseeable and predictable at any church in the country. It is reasonable and predictable and foreseeable now at social service agencies delivering help to the developmentally disabled. It is absolutely reasonable and foreseeable. It's reasonable and foreseeable in a football stadium at a little league park. It's reasonable and foreseeable at a public swimming pool. It's reasonable and foreseeable in Central Park or in Piedmont Park in Atlanta. It's reasonable and foreseeable in your neighborhood, my neighborhood. It's reasonable and foreseeable down at the Rippy Mart, over at the Walmart, in the mall. It is reasonable and foreseeable for everywhere in the entire United States because we will not do a goddamned thing about it. I think one of the things that most sickens me about this, that sickens me inside my own being about this, and maybe the thing that created that sense of distress in me when I first learned about today, it's not that I was numb. It's that I wasn't surprised. Instead of a sense of shock or surprise, I generated within myself nothing more than, oh no, not again, so soon. But yeah, again, so soon. Now the suggestions begin to roll in. Courtesy of Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions. Drink. Fuck Limbaugh Radio. Drink. But the cupboard is bare. The cupboard is bare. And even if I was to just start putting my mouse ears on, it's there in the morning, and you know what? It sucks to have one of these things happen, and you got a hangover. Meanwhile, in other corners of the news, a press release out from the for Americans for Limited Government December 2nd, 2016, Fairfax, Virginia. Oddly enough, also the home of the National Rifle Association. Some bitch! Americans for Limited Government President Rick Manning today issued the following statement urging the House to suspend consideration of S-1177 and H.R. 5 conference report, Every Student Succeeds Act. It is beyond absurd that House Republicans would be opening up new potential funding for Planned Parenthood through the Every Student Succeeds Act at a time when the House has voted to defund Planned Parenthood via budget reconciliation by tying funds for school-based health centers to compliance with the Public Health Service Act, which explicitly allows Planned Parenthood to receive funds. The possibility of new funding is opened. Speaker Ryan needs to pull the bill from the docket immediately. There is simply no excuse for hiding potential funds in a House bill for Planned Parenthood, a group that is currently under investigation by a House Special Committee for their misdeeds. You lying bastards! Couldn't even wait a week. The teabaggers couldn't. Because they are on the attack all the time, every day. Oh, courtesy of Tim in L.A. Just in case you wanted to know, this past Black Friday broke a record in the United States of Merca. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible under God. In the United States, on Black Friday, there were 185,000 firearms background checks on one lonely day. One day. It's 185 firearms. How many of those 185,000, 185,000, not 185, how many of those 185,000 firearms will eventually be used to end a human life? Here's a trick question. Of those 185,000 firearms, how many of them are designed to end a human life? Hey, quick, easy answer, 185,000! Mm-hmm. All but some of them were bought by them tender-hearted, soft-souled, lawful gun owners. Right? Right. Uh-oh. Marty's just sticking a finger in Ron's eye, and this is not going to play well. Bob. See, he's trying to get around it by using four Bobs. As Ron and Raleigh had said, I've already read stuff saying there was some kind of hostage anti-terrorism drill going on in San Bernardino County, likely in that area today. And Jack in Shreveport says, for kicks, I Googled San Bernardino shooting false flag, and it was already on the Google suggestion list, over 45,000 hits. Reddit had a hit. Just look at the dumbassery. They say there was a police training going on nearby. I don't know if that's even true. And just take a look at the moron screen names. Oh, I'm afraid, Jack. I'm afraid. Oh, paint me like one of your French girls, Jack. Freedom Seeker posts, oh no, really? Don't send me to the comments! Freedom Seeker says, so here's my question. If there was a police drill going on so close by and they were able to respond in force so quickly, then how the fuck did the shooter or shooters escape? Response from Allah is a faggot. Good question. Make mind free to go says, why does it seem there's always some kind of drill before a mass shooting? This really irks me to no end. Allah is a faggot responds, always a drill going on. honey wolf. Boy, Allah as a faggot's a busy one. Master Wingman. Yeah. Oh, for pity's sakes. New York Times, Washington Post article simply titled The San Bernardino shooting is the second mass shooting today, huh? And the 355th this year. In the early morning hours, by the way, one person was killed and three were injured in an incident in Savannah, Georgia. But somehow that one crept under the radar because they didn't manage to kill 14 people and wound 14 more. And by the way, Ron in the recently frozen north is able to cipher much better than I on the fly. Those 185,000 background checks on Black Friday, that's two background checks per second. Mm-hmm. So look, don't leave me just to do this by myself. We are a community here. Conversation is our specialty. It is the purpose of the community. After the program was over last night, I had a note from Jay. Jay is a longtime supporter of the program and a longtime member of the community. Jay simply wrote, "Oh my God, tonight was the best horn program in years. Everyone was in rare form. Even though I can only listen, I am proud to be part of it." And it makes me proud to have had a hand in the creation of this community where, whether we are just listening, and there's no such thing as just listening, or whether we're communicating back and forth, emailing, tweeting, Facebooking, all those, calling, all the things that make this the multimedia extravaganza that it is. It does. It makes me very, very proud to have had a hand in the creation of it, and thankful to all of you for the hand you have in the maintenance of it and the continuation of it. But if I got to do this for two more hours by myself, I don't know. I got to find some way to get to some other topics. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got a lot of topics to go after. I just got to find a way to get over to them. Because this topic just sucks all the oxygen right out of the room. So let's take a little break and then get back to the communicating. The stress line, by the way, is back in service. Might have to tweak it on the fly a little bit, but area code 304-663-HORN, area code 304-663-4676. This is indeed Conversation Radio. This is The Horn, and yes, I'm Bob Kincaid. Oh, just a little gentle reminder that we do have a better nature. We are better than all of this. We are not simply a people bred for slaughter, no matter how much the National Rifle Association thinks we are. This is hour two of what should have been Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. A little note coming from our buddy Tom from Some Say over at FYI Nation. It really pisses me off, Tom says, that our little networks have a tough time of it. And the Daily Coast gets ad revenue and acts like it's desperate for money. I wanted to say that I enjoyed last night as well, and I'm proud to have you as an affiliate. I did about 20 minutes of being angry and then used my show to show how crazy the right is and how they have to have a constant Jesus echo chamber. Perhaps that helps? At this point, Tom, everything helps. Everything helps. Believe you me, everything helps. And, hey, Ron, come on out here on the ledge and have a smoke.
Hey, Bob, it's a long way down.
God damn right it is.
I'm calling with some good news.
Yes?
Yep. Previously, I had reported that the Canadian government had said it would be bringing in 25,000 refugees.
Indeed.
That's about 2.5 times what the U.S. were going to bring in.
Yeah.
Well, today the government said that by the end of 2016, they fully expect the number to be at least 50,000.
Wow.
And I bet there won't be a terrorist in the bunch.
There won't be. But you know what? There may be a future rocket scientist or a future physician who might cure cancer or something. But you're going to have to take in those extras up there, Ron, because down here in America, we're so damn terrified that we our pants just stay wet.
Well, all I got to say is once we get them, you can't have them.
Well, unless one of them decides to come down and be an evangelist and run for president. I mean, I didn't see you building a wall to keep the cruises in. Thanks for nothing. As Daffy Duck once said, thanks for the sour persimmons, brother.
If we had only known. But, you know, he could still claim refugee status once he's actually brought out into the open and under the bright lights and everybody realizes exactly what he stands for. He's a Canadian citizen. We'd have to take him. Now, there's a thought, huh?
You can have him. I don't want him. He's too weird for me. I just got a note here from Robert in Australia. And I would suspect that a lot of our other international listeners are similarly situated from an intellectual standpoint. Robert in Australia says, Ron, as an Australian, I just don't understand the U.S. Is it something so ingrained in the American psyche that nothing can be done? Heavily armed, combat fatigues, bulletproof vests, and they attacked a disability center? After a number of previous shootings, Port Arthur was enough for us in Australia. And I don't think it's in the collective psyche, because if it was in the collective psyche, I'd be in the same place, and so would you.
Yeah, all I can say is our last domestic terrorist incident, which we are not loath to use, the phrase actually is part of the media vocabulary up here. That poor dumb son of a bitch had a 30-30 that was dirty and bulky, and reports are from guys on the scene that the second time he tried to use it inside the House of Commons, it wouldn't fire. But he got killed anyway.
Do not screw with a Canadian. I mean, I think it's right there in the Bible. Screw thou not with the Canucks.
No, I'm not going to mention burning the White House.
Well, good. I mean, the White House wasn't always white. It's just that we were so damn broke after y'all burned it in 1814 that we couldn't afford the paint.
And I bring you greetings from Brother Larceny, who's a cousin to Brother Craig.
Yes.
Brother Larceny is very happy and content.
Truly a great man of the cloth.
Yes. Who knew he would spawn the televangelism movement as we know it today?
Well, I don't know. You get enough that in you, and you are full of the Spirit.
Yep. But anyway, he's mellowed me out a little bit from earlier, and I have to say that if I were living in the U.S. right now, I would be every bit as pissed off as you are. And there's something weird. I'm on another side of the border in a different country, and I can empathize, but generally, I just, you know, bounce between sadness and depression at what's happened to my country.
I come back to what Robert in Australia asked, and maybe you tell me, Ron, is my answer too pat when I just say we can't have anything, we can't fix this because the NRA won't let us?
The NRA is a political entity funded primarily by gun manufacturers and frightened people. As a political entity, they're all in some sort of an indeterminate lifespan. They could be had if there was sufficient motivation on the part of the public to get rid of them. Because once the politicians begin to understand just how pissed off the actual voting electorate are, if that message could somehow be brought to the fore, politicians will change stripes in a New York minute.
I mean, what would happen, Ron, in your expert opinion? What would happen if, say, a million Americans who are sick to goddamn death with this would, say, march on the NRA headquarters there in Fairfax, Virginia, surround the goddamn place, and absolutely bring Fairfax to a standstill? Or are we too scared to do that because the NRA would then start killing us?
Oh, I don't think we're too scared. I think we're too blasé. Let somebody else do it.
Or I can't get time off work to do it.
There you go. We'll do it from 5 o'clock until 11, and then we have to go home and watch the evening news.
Yeah, and we need to do this on a Sunday because we have to be back at work on Monday. Otherwise, we'll get foreclosed.
Yeah. There.
So I guess I'm just picking out a convenient group to mention. Where's Occupy when you need them? I mean, yes. Wall Street's a problem. Wall Street's a huge problem. Wall Street is an interconnected part of the problem, but. It's college campuses getting shot up. I bet you there's, and we're forever being told how all those professors and all them goddamn colleges is a bunch of sissy, panty-waisted liberals. Well, they'd probably let their students out of class to take a bus trip up and just lock down at the NRA until the NRA knuckles. Right?
Yeah.
Well, okay, maybe the math professors wouldn't.
Yeah, and the political science guys, and all those history nerds. But you talk about campus shootings. I remember what happened at Kent State. Now, that was a galvanizing event, and it was on a much smaller scale, practically speaking, than the crap we see today. And an entire group of people from 19 to 30 were galvanized. What's it take to get them galvanized today? Or are they too self-absorbed?
And see, I got nothing. I mean, because the yin and the yang of this is that the apparent polling data for some kind of meaningful firearm safety reform is, I mean, it's not a plurality. It is a clear, pretty goddamn broad majority. I'm throwing the GDs around like they're cheap or something this evening, but please forgive me. I can't help it. But the majority is broad and clear, and it exists on both sides of the political aisle, apparently. And yet we get nothing from the politicians, because I suppose they're utterly unresponsive to their own constituents. I mean, I got a story here. Comes from the
Follow
New York
the money, Bob.
It comes from the New York Daily News. And it is updated today. House Dems rip GOP for blocking gun debate, because it's true. And the author of the reporter on the story, Dennis Slattery and Cameron Joseph, write, "They won't even talk about it. Hard-headed House Republicans blocked a debate Tuesday on a bill that would close a loophole allowing suspected terrorists to legally buy guns." And you know, that's not yellow journalism. That's not inflammatory rhetoric. That's the damn truth. The House of Representatives majority, those God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, Christian, evangelical fundamentalists, will not even allow discussion to take place of a measure that would say we are not going to allow firearms to be sold to... I mean, this is just harrowingly stupid, Ron. We are not going to allow firearms to be sold to people who are on the terrorist watch list. The NRA cannot even countenance that. In a country that is permanently urine stained yellow from wetting ourselves over the fear of ISIS terrorism, and we won't even pass a law that says the people who are on the terrorist watch list can't buy a gun if they get to America. Not yelling at you, of course.
Well, I understand.
I mean, that says everything about us, doesn't it?
Well,
that's the end of the discussion right there. I mean, that's the diagnosis.
All you have to do is follow the money, Bob.
And the money goes back to the NRA.
Yes. What about RICO?
What about a U.S. attorney with the gall to bring that? The U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Virginia.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What about
funny.
What about a civil case? You mentioned something the other night about undertaking acts that you could foresee would have cause possible harm.
Yeah, that's reasonable foreseeability.
Okay. Reagan got shot.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Brady Bill. The Brady Bill banned assault weapons. One of the first things Dipstick did when he got in was to remove the ban on assault weapons. Why can't we go after Bush? Is he immune?
Well, in a word, kinda. I mean, God Almighty, I got a story here. I gotta find it.
He and his henchmen probably accounted for a million. I'll use the word civilian as opposed to victim in Iraq and the general vicinity. And we can let him go on that. But by God, he does something that causes kids to be, helps facilitate kids being killed in schools and things like happened today. He should be held to some degree culpable, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah. There's a story here. A book was published this past Sunday called God, Spies, and Lies by a South African journalist by the name of John Matteson. And in it, he describes the fact that Tony Blair had explicit expert warnings telling Tony Blair that Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction. None. Okay? The president of South Africa at the time, Thabo Mbeki, tried to reach both Tony Blair and George Bush to tell them they had intel that there was no, there were weapons of mass destruction. And Nelson Mandela came away from that saying, President Bush doesn't know how to think. And so we've got that. This is hard evidence, crystal clear evidence. So at the same time we've got that, a report comes out in the last couple of days from, Human Rights Watch. It came out yesterday. The name of the report is, let me see here. It's 153 pages. Okay, I got that. Among other things, it's described as scathing, and it claims there is more than enough evidence for the Attorney General to order criminal probes of George Bush, Dick Cheney, Don Rumsfeld, Kinda Sleazy Rice. It goes great with Kinda Sleazy Chicken. John Yoo and the rest of that filthy, blood-soaked, homicidal criminal enterprise that was the Bush administration. The report says, U.S. officials who created, authorized, and implemented the CIA program should be among those investigated for conspiracy to torture as well as other crimes. Meanwhile, interviewed about all of this, President Obama, once again, as he said nearly 8 years ago, has reiterated, I think we need to look forward and not back. How are we ever going to solve this these sorts of problems if we persist in that attitude that we have to ignore massive criminal conspiracies that result in a million deaths? We're just going to ignore that and move forward and pretend it didn't happen. I mean, the report dings George Tenet, John Ashcroft, Dick Cheney, James Mitchell, Bruce Jessen. These are the clowns who came up with the torture program. They should be investigated and prosecuted. The report continues, without criminal investigations, which would remove torture as a policy option, Obama's legacy will forever be poisoned. The statute of limitations for the crime of conspiracy may be extended if those responsible conceal a central component of the plot, which was the case with the CIA program. The failure to investigate and prosecute CIA torture increases the danger that some future president will authorize similar illegal interrogation methods in response to an inevitable serious security threat. Meanwhile, the Republican presidential candidates to a person have said, well, hell yeah, I'd waterboard them all. So, I mean, does that begin to approach an answer?
No. Obama's being political. I don't know why. But I have to ask, if you could pick one person out of that coterie of names you rattled off, who would you pick? My vote would be Cheney.
Oh, yeah. Count Dicula is obviously at the top of the list.
Yeah.
If you want a subsection of little Eichmanns, as the saying goes, that list has to be headed by John Yoo, who I think still occupies a distinguished chair at the School of Law of the University of California at Bolt Hall in Berkeley. And oddly enough, there's not a daily report that somebody goes up and spits on him, which just amazes me.
I have to contrast that with being spat upon. a long time ago in a place far, far away, shortly after Kent State, mind you. But it would seem to me there's got to be one deep-pocketed progressive liberal somewhere that could be convinced to bring a civil case against some of these assholes.
Well, look, I mean, he has since passed away, but there was a book published, and a lot of people went to a lot of expense to send a copy of the book to every prosecuting attorney in the United States called The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. And in it, Vincent Bugliosi, who did the Manson prosecution, remember? Vincent Bugliosi lays out, step by step, how to go about doing this. I mean, it was a manual. I read it. But nobody would take him up on the offer. Not one person.
Almost makes you think we deserve our fate, but we're better than that, aren't we?
Well, are we? I mean, I know the right wing hates to hear it when we say it, but some of these are elements of chickens coming home to roost, aren't they?
Yep.
I mean, what did we expect?
As you sow, so shall you reap. Yeah.
Right, and poisonous trees bear poisonous fruit. When the first of the Stand Your Ground laws were passed, and the first of the concealed carry and open carry laws were passed, it's not like it was crickets in the country and nobody had any vision and nobody could see this coming, because I've been on the air for 10 years, and I remember saying, this is gonna lead to mayhem. This is gonna lead to horror. And the NRA's response every time, you bunch of lily-livered, sissy, panty-waisted liberals. But people saw it coming. I mean, one of the reasons I'm supporting Bernie is because he gets stuff right. And mentioning Bernie inside the gun discussion is probably, well, that's his weak side, but, you know, it is what it is. But he said, I'm supporting Bernie because he got stuff right. He was against the Iraq War, and what he said about the Iraq War turned out to be true. And I think we probably, if we would like to survive as a nation, had better start electing the people who get stuff right. You know, back during the heyday of the economic wonderland that was Bill Clinton, at the same time that he was kneecapping the poor and getting rid of Glass-Steagall and that kind of thing.
Having an interesting sex life.
That too. But in the midst of all of that, we got NAFTA. And every union in the country who were supposedly, you know, had the president's ear, said, listen, if you do this, we're going to lose our manufacturing base. It's all going to disappear. No, it'll just mean that it'll level the playing field for workers all around the world. And that proved to be just bilge. Because we did lose our manufacturing base. And textile operations in the South that were non-union to begin with packed up, closed their doors, and left because they could go to Mexico or El Salvador or et cetera, and set up shop and pay people pennies a day, where they were actually having to pay the rednecks, you know, $3 or $4 a day. In all of these things that have been so bad for our country, there have been a group of people who have seen it coming and were capable of pointing it out in almost prophetic terms, and without fail, well, you know, I mean, that book says a prophet is without honor in his own land. And isn't this that?
Well, it's taken, 30 years of incremental right drift to the right to bring this about. We've always had crazies, but none of them could carry a goddamn assault rifle down the street. and get away with it. They can now. Why don't we... Okay, let's go back to earlier in the conversation. What's it going to take to shut down the NRA? Realistically, what could we do?
I'm
crickets.
I think all right, let's use military terminology. I think a frontal approach to the NRA is bound to fail. I think you have to come at them. I think you have to you have to flank them. And so I go back to my assertion that the only reasonable and rational way to go about this is through insurance. Mandate insurance on every firearm in the home. For negligent discharge and accidental discharge.
Okay. Why won't the insurance companies do that?
Well, if they were mandated to, they would.
Which means you have to take one step back and figure out a way to get to politicians sufficiently concerned about the negative impacts of being associated with the NRA to make that happen. And what's it take to get to politicians convinced? You get a few, after heavy concerted efforts, you get the more vocal NRA supporters in the House and the Senate booted out of office, which takes money. You keep backing up, it's going to take political contributions and some serious professional political work on the ground to get the message across to these bastards. Remember the old rule about donkeys and 2x4s?
Yes.
First, you got to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep coming back to the fact that we need to identify one or two deep-pocketed progressive individuals who are willing to support such an effort. There's got to be somebody on the other side of the coin from the Koch brothers. And
Michael Bloomberg has been pouring a horse-gagging bajillions into the gun issue.
Yep. Did I just read somewhere that he was thinking about running for president?
I don't know if you just read that. He's perpetually mentioned as a possibility.
There was something in a news cycle today somewhere I came across. Now, granted, I spent a large part of the day skipping just across the high points, but I thought I saw something saying Bloomberg was considering running for president and was going to be making an announcement soon. And I couldn't even tell you whether Bloomberg is a Republican or a Democrat. I don't have a clue.
He's been both.
Sort of like Manchin, right?
I think, Manchin's never been a Democrat. I think right now he's technically an independent now that he's not mayor anymore. This just in from Carol Queen of the Minions, courtesy of Alex Jones. Alex Jones.
Whoa. The shooting at the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino, California, does not fit the pattern of a typical mass shooting and appears to be geared to elicit widespread public outrage. San Bernardino shooting highly suspicious. Shooting comes hours after Republicans block debate on gun bill.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Nope, gotcha on that one.
You did.
Sometimes one's personal inbuilt booger button just fails.
It does, yeah. Sorry.
Carol noting, don't shoot the messenger, so to speak. No. But that's as predictable as rain after a ring around the moon. And, you know, Lottie points out in the chat room, with the number of shootings we have in this country, the premiums would be sky high.
Yeah.
Then Devin says, contrarily, gun insurance, great, let's give the banks yet another handout and even more power. If there's no public option, then it's pure madness. I'll bet they'd want a public option in that instance. But the fact of the matter is, hey, you don't want to pay sky-high insurance premiums for guns? There's a great answer to that. Don't have guns. Because the whole thing is just a, it's just a trick box full of goofy false logic. Because remember, all these freedom protectors, Ron, are out there stockpiling 30-06s and 30-30s and 357 mag pistols and the pocket shotgun, because one of these days they're going to need them when the government comes to put their jackbooted jackboots down on our patriotic necks, right there on our necks where we done already got our Confederate flag tattooed. Why you don't got no tattoo? But I think, where's the handout in that to the big banks? I mean, I'm no fan of insurance companies, but they have a place in a fairly complex risk-laden society, do they not? Ron? Oh, Ron.
Ron is here.
Oh, okay.
Fred.
Oh, okay.
Fred.
God damn it, Fred.
Now that you mentioned insurance companies, all it would take would be a few lawsuits, I would think. Wrongful victims, rightful gun owners.
Well, and I think a couple of those lawsuits have been tried against individual gun manufacturers, and the response of the Congress was to pass immunity bills for the gun manufacturers. Oh, yeah. Can't sue them.
Oh, well.
I'm going to say something, and I hope I don't get... I hope I don't get a visit from one of those humorless people in a dark suit who talks to his wrist. Because I'm not naming anyone, and I'm not suggesting it as something that should happen. But do you remember how California got gun control right after the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense took that picture of themselves on the California State House steps, everybody carrying guns?
Yep.
And Ronald Reagan couldn't get gun control passed fast enough.
Those white people were going to die. You're not going to talk about the Capitol, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
But let somebody squeeze off a couple of rounds at one of these right wing booger eaters, and you'll see some movement.
You wouldn't. No, we wouldn't dare mention any names or likely candidates, would we?
No, because I don't want it to happen to anyone. But in terms of what gets people's attention, it's obvious that I'm proceeding logically we had a bunch of school children. And we're coming up on the anniversary of it. So shot up that they couldn't be readily identified from their appearance. They had to be guessed at by the clothing they were wearing. Oh, yeah, that's my little Susie. Yeah, she was wearing the Christmas themed green turtleneck with the red and white striped candy canes on it. Yes, that's that's at least little Susie's arm. Okay, and we did nothing. And
Colorado, we did nothing.
Movie theaters, nothing. I mean, it's just a steady progression of things in which we've done nothing. So I don't know. Maybe even a high profile, you know. But I go back to that scene from Blazing Saddles. Gentlemen, we have got to do something, or we'll lose our phony baloney jobs. Harumph, harumph, harumph. I didn't get a harumph out of you. Watch your ass. Harumph.
Or Strother Martin leaning up against the porch railing going, what we have here is a failure to communicate because it ain't like the goddamn message in out there. Nobody's listening. Nobody in power that's got a possibility of changing it.
Yeah, and meanwhile, a couple of observations from Queen Carol. You know the worst part about today's shooting? We have to use the word today's. As opposed to yesterday's or tomorrow's. Or, actually, there's another adjective as well. Today's second mass shooting, because as noted, there was another one early in the wee morning hours in Savannah, Georgia.
Yep.
Today's second mass shooting.
By the way, Bob, what's the approved media definition for domestic terrorism?
There isn't one. It doesn't happen.
It does if you're black or you're Muslim.
Well, no.
But if you're a white guy, what do you got to do to?
If you're Muslim, then it's radical Islamic terrorism. So it is by definition not domestic because they wasn't really Americans in the first place.
Right.
If it is, if it's black folks, it's still not domestic terrorism. Then it's thugs.
Okay. What would a group of white guys have to do to get labeled domestic terrorists? I've never heard it applied to the Ku Klux Klan.
Okay. I think I got an answer for that. If you had a bunch of disaffected white guys who shot something up and on the way out the door said, yeah, and I hate Jesus.
Well, then it's war on Christianity.
And it's persecution, and it's easily defined as domestic terrorism. By the way, a for-profit media update coming from Carol. She's apparently taken one for the team. She's observing Chicken Noodle News. What's it like to have your neighborhood under siege? Are you terrified? And she simply remarks, journalism is dead. Meanwhile, Fox News, it's not terrorism unless they holler Aloha Akbar. Aloha Akbar! Mahalo, man. Mahalo Peace. Akbar.
Peace. Well, Bob, I'm suffering vertigo.
All dressed up and no vertigo. That's me.
Okay, I'm going to step back off the ledge now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, go. It's probably a little chilly for you.
Yeah, I'm not used to it.
Yeah, I have my outrage to keep me warm.
Oh, okay.
Ron, take care.
Well, you take care, sir.
I mean, at least you're in the recently frozen north, and you're highly unlikely to experience a mass shooting today, tomorrow, the next day, day after that. I mean, it's entirely possible that there are more days in a year than there are mass shootings in Canada. And for that, Ron, you have my absolute undying envy.
Well, we had the first one in 2 months recently out in Alberta, and it turned out to be some spurned young stud who killed 3 people. But that's the first one I can remember in a couple of months. Gets a lot of press when it happens. So,
a lot of press, and the Canadian people don't say, "Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we just got to take it. You know, these things are just going to happen, don't you know?" Oh, there, you
know. No, there's a difference. Psyche involved, which I appreciate. It's the same country that's fully aware that there may be some backlash and the idea of bringing in 25 to 50,000 Syrians. Apparently the backlash, though, will not come because anybody's concerned about them being terrorists. The backlash will come because they're bringing these people in, and Canadian unemployment rate is already at 4.5% or 5%. So people who are looking for jobs may resent this. That's a whole different take on things.
Well, there, I mean, there are concerns about the ability of the system to deliver deliver services to people deserving of them.
Healthcare, education, housing.
Yeah. But the thing is, you're not sitting there wallowing in a puddle of your own filth and saying, I guess we can't do it. No, the Canadians are saying to each other, okay, so how do we get this done? Because we got to do it.
Yep. It's a refreshing change.
Mm-hmm.
And I would still think somebody could make a case of applying for refugee status to Canada simply because the U.S. is just batshit crazy.
Ron, be good.
Okay, you take care of it.
Later, man.
Good night.
Bye. Our buddy Ron in the only recently frozen north. And there's Tom from Some Say. And
hey.
FYI.
Hey, Bob. I turned on the news for a little bit to see what the hell was going on in batshit crazy USA, and I made a mistake.
Should have left it turned off.
Yeah, I know. I forgot that I had done show prep and earlier in the day and had Fox News on for that.
There's nothing to be gained from going to A, the for-profit media, or B, the comments section, okay?
You're right. No, you're right. Because it just numbed you. Like I watched it, and they were so enamored with their cameras and the scene and everything else, and little military police Kevlar vests and the tank thing.
Oh, goody! We get to use our machine that goes ping.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it, and I was gonna lay down, and I listened to you, and you got me worked up, so I turned on. You know, trying to find something to wind down.
Sorry.
It's not your fault. I enjoy listening, but I saw it and I was like, imagine if we didn't invest all this money into this and we invested into education and women's health issues and men's health issues and curing cancer and saving Appalachia. And climate, you know, the list piles up. And it's like...
And people wonder why I drink.
Why I wish I would. It just drives me nuts because I'm looking at the money that right now on the streets of San Bernardino are being spent, supposedly from what they're saying, is because they wanted to wreck a holiday party and target... one or maybe two people, but they're not sure, so it could be more.
I mean, you know? Jesus, I remember when you had a story of somebody wanting to wreck a party. It had to do with the like an evil witch bringing an apple or something, and the princess goes to sleep for a bajillion years or so. My God, what if the Sleeping Beauty witches had had AK-47s?
Well, you know, and I like that idea of suing W, but we won't get him for war crimes. So what makes you think we'll get him for AK-47s?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, so it's like I'm because I had the conversation of I don't want to get angry anymore because that's easy to do, like on my show. And this is where your advice comes in. We need to get beyond angry. And
hey, good luck. Good luck. if you can. You will have my undying admiration. Right now, I'm just too
pissed.
In a way, Tom, I'm past angry already.
Well, no, yeah,
I'm goddamn forlorn.
Well, no, I understand that because that's where I'm at, and all I know is I'm motivated. Like I am so I don't typically swear on other people's snow, but I'm so fucking motivated right now because
you know what the stages of grief are, right?
Yeah.
And you know, there's denial and anger, and then you get to that phase of bargaining. You know.
Yeah.
And so here's one. And of course, I have no right to do this. As a male, I have no right to do this. And if there was a much bigger community, I would probably get hate mail saying, "Well, how dare you?" So this is just a hypothetical. And this is part of the stages of grief that involves bargaining. So it's not real. And I'm not really in support of this idea. But it makes you the things like this make you take into consideration things you wouldn't otherwise. For instance, it makes you wonder, could we strike a deal with the right wing? Listen, we'll tell all the women people that they can't have no filthy silent abortion pills no more, and they can't have no more abortions. And that'll make you real happy, and you in return just let us have some meaningful limitations on firearms. You think they'd take the deal?
No, because see, here's the problem: being a former conservator, they want it all. Like I'm still
bingo. We got to get you a bumper sticker.
they thank you, Bob. But like Nikki. Reminds me all the time, Tom, stop being a narcissist. That's one of the things I still can't not do. Because as a conservative, they want it all and their cake. Because it's not just Ayn Rand telling them that. It's this Calvinistic, you are saved by the blood of Jesus and the Lamb. So now, take it upon yourself to be fruitful and multiply. And they think that, and because they think this, they think they could do whatever the hell they want, and there are no consequences because they bargained it out with God already. And so there you go. Whether it's Senator Inhofe with the Jesus is going to take care of climate change because God's still upstairs, or the gun issue, because you're going to go to heaven anyway. Or maybe not, because you're, you know, gay or bi like me, you know. So, but they are so self-centered and so anything. Bargaining isn't going to work. And what I said on my show, in my anger.
So all you can do is punch them in the face and deal with it that way.
Well, no, worse. Do what they say we're going to do. Take away the guns. You lost your right the minute you allowed other people to behave in a way that you said they would never behave. So now I'm going to be the adult in the room, and now I'm going to take away your gun. And if you try to make that not happen, you're going to see Jesus.
Meet him real quick. Oh, by the way, you have been ratted out by your compadre, Nikki.
How's that?
I just got a tweet that says, at Doubting Tom FYI thrives on Fox News in the comments sections. Rubble.
Well, I kind of do because I am a masochist. So it goes.
Well, I don't have the automatic bleach dispenser attached to my shower head yet, so I can't.
Well, I do have young timers too, so I just forget it and replace it with something new. So, that's
oh, oh okay, from. Okay. So today's no shit quote from Carol Baker. This just landed. No shit, FBI. This is a quote. The shooting suspects are probably Americans, so they're not terrorists. Gawker already has it.
Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do. Because said earlier. Take away the guns for a millennia. You broke it. You don't get it now. You get to follow our rules because you said it would happen, so now we're going to make it happen. And now what we need to do in our anger and bargaining is demand that our progressives make it happen to make America safe again. Fuck, great. I want safe, and I apologize for.
Well, you love walking around in these swamps with your hip waders on. Here's one for you. This is courtesy of Vince. In bold, sigh.
Ooh, I like bold.
Yeah, in bold on the message to me, sigh, sigh. If they're Muslims, at POTUS and MSM will call it global warming. If they're white, it's Republican extremism. Mm. And Vince says, just keep scrolling, just keep scrolling.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on the... this is what we need to do if this whole two network thing doesn't work out, Bob. We need to get a Indiegogo or GoFundMe account set up where we raise for maybe 40 or 100 of our finest community dwellers. And we all sorts of get refugee status. And I think I have a head match on that because I am a dual citizen like Teddy Boy Cruz. Well, used to be.
Yeah, the Cubanadian.
Yes, I am a subject of the crown because I have English citizenship. So, I think I could call...
What are you doing here?
Money, my friend, money.
It's a plane ticket. You can Indiegogo yourself a goddamn plane ticket in a week.
Because I wouldn't feel right leaving... It's like going to see Jesus. I wouldn't feel...
No. I get it. I get it. I mean, I'm the guy who won't leave Appalachia. Okay.
Yeah.
And exactly. I keep saying, you know, I don't have an acre of ground with a falling down house on it anywhere else.
Exactly. You know, but otherwise, I mean, I've been to Europe. They don't. They have, their conservatives argue about race. That's it. They don't argue about. Well, now they kind of do because the Thatcherites are evil bastards. But they used to not argue about getting rid of the NHS because after Hitler bombed the hell... I'm sorry if I wasn't supposed to say that, Bob. After the evil bastard bombed the hell out of them, we realized that we needed to take care of our own. When are Americans going to realize, stop being selfish pricks? We need to take care of our own.
We've been pretty much selfish pricks since about 1607.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
Hey, Nikki.
I had to join in now. And
hello, my darling. See, this is like something. This is like a later version. Hello,
well,
my
that
darling.
And then the bargaining with the women's parts.
Well, see, Marty kindly and conveniently already provided me with the why how dare you email.
Thank you, Marty.
Marty's a giver.
Wait a minute, why do my parts have to be sacrificed?
Well, okay, so the guys will give up. We'll give up prostate exams, okay?
No.
But see, that's the point, though. She's right, well, though. The bargaining doesn't work with them.
At least my husband have to go through one first.
You're just mean.
Hey, if it feels right, don't object.
I remember my last prostate exam. Hey, trim your nails.
Yeah. Were you at least bought dinner?
Not even so much as a glass of Mad Dog, damn it.
See, that's just not right. You need a better HMO.
I hooted like a barn owl.
I didn't call in just to sit here and laugh, too. That's still the truth, you know?
Well, don't make me tell the story of Bob's first prostate exam because it gets real creepy real fast.
Oh, wow. Oh,
well, yeah.
I probably shouldn't give away secrets, but we got to go through those too. Not the prostate part, but they do check women there too. You know, and the first time that happened to me, I probably had the same reaction you did. So.
No, okay, here's the short and dirty of it. The good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian physician who gave me my first prostate exam was later busted when an elderly dementia patient in long-term care bit his tongue off when he tried to stick it in his mouth.
Oof.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Wait.
The physician, the God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian physician tried to give the elderly dementia patient man a big old tongue kiss.
Ew.
And the elderly dementia patient was able to come around long enough to go, hey, there's a man trying to stick his tongue in my mouth and bit it right off.
Good for her or him, you know.
Him. That's why it makes it so, that's why it, you know, because
I meant the person that did the biting.
Yeah, him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Now I shiver. Thanks for that, Bob.
Yeah, I read that news story about a year and a half ago.
I'm never going to get tongue to the doctor now.
Yeah,
I know, right?
I read that story about a year and a half ago and immediately ran in here in the studio and played the crying game.
Well, at least you got Nikki laughing because I know she was having
welcome to my
there.
World.
Oh, I am glad you're making me laugh because I can't take any more of this. You know, it's just, and I like the idea of taking the guns away. I'm sorry. I mean, I know there are lots of people out there who are really responsible gun owners. You know, like, you know, Bob had mentioned earlier, it's deer hunting season, you mm-hmm. know, over here. It's deer hunting season in Ohio, too. All I hear right now are gunshots going off all, you know, week long and stuff. And I know that all of these people are probably very, very careful with their guns. You know, I grew up around rifles and guns in the house and stuff, and I never had the urge to take one and go shoot up any place or anything. I just, there's got to be some kind of an answer.
And here's my question, okay? Because I got some pushback on my insurance idea from Devin, who, like me, is a hillbilly. And he says, you know, if I call 911, it's an hour before anyone comes. I don't have a choice other than have a gun or die. Your proposal for insurance amounts to a rural poverty tax. And my question there is the same question that I ask all the lawful gun owners. If you could make sure that even one, just one person, one child didn't die by giving up your firearm, would you? Would you?
Me, that's an easy answer because I don't own any. But
right, I own a firearm, and for me, the answer is easy. Absolutely, in a heartbeat.
See, I have too many rage
issues. And I've got a 12-gauge shotgun here. And its purpose is primarily for, you know, arguably home defense, but also co-primarily it's for the fact that we got a lot of coyotes here now.
Uh-huh.
And we got rabies issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's seen that scene from To Kill a Mockingbird when Atticus takes his glasses off and inadvertently steps on them and breaks them. And shoots the rabid Ooh. Dog down the road.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's the purpose. That's the purpose of that firearm. But as far as home defense is concerned, most burglars, at least around here, prefer to burgle homes that are unoccupied because this state is armed to the teeth. And they know that they're going to get killed dead. But the thing is, we're hillbillies, and if we don't have a gun to hand, we'll use our Ginsu. Because if it'll cut through a goddamn aluminum can, it'll cut through a fucking burglar.
Damn right.
Yeah. See, yeah,
I got a K-bar.
And you know, there's and you know, I love, you know, an aluminum baseball bat is a lot lighter than a wooden baseball bat, so you can work up a lot more terminal speed with it. There's a real sickening thump that comes with the usage of that, and it would work equally well. See, that's the thing about a firearm that most of these firearm fantasies don't take into consideration. A firearm is not a very good defensive weapon. It really isn't.
That's lazy.
Because you can't stop another bullet in mid-flight with another bullet.
Unless you're in
that's,
the Matrix.
That's the, you know, that's the crazy bullshit of Ronnie Reagan's Star Wars program. Hey, well, we're going to use sharks with frickin' laser beams to shoot down the evil Empire missiles.
Oh,
Mommy.
You did the voices so well. You did Clinton perfect earlier.
Oh, now, that ain't necessary. You ain't got to shine me on.
No, I was laughing here. Laying
I like to watch there, Nikki.
But
I was laying here in bed laughing my head off. I'm like, wow, that was a really good Clinton impression.
Now get me a donut. but seriously, you want home defense? Keep a baseball bat. You know, I keep a baseball bat in my car, and I also keep a glove, so I won't be accused of driving around with a dangerous weapon. No, hell, you never know when you're going to have a chance to stop and hit a few fungos with the kid. take a little infield.
I never thought of that idea. That's pretty brilliant there. Not to
but by God, that but that thing. Look, have you ever had anybody come at you with a baseball bat?
No.
You will run.
Yeah, you will. You will.
And if you're running the other way, that means the person with the baseball bat has achieved the goal of ending the attack and is in no further harm. Then, you know, okay, so it takes an hour for the cops to get there.
But the
fantasy of some sort of OK Corral home defense is exactly that in most instances, a fantasy. Now, that's not to say that it does not happen. I mean, we've got it. Oh, the stories we've got. The lovely Agnes, Viking warrior princess, is just one wall away from me right now. And when she was pregnant with our Margie, it was about this time of year, and she would have been about 7 months, and she was already carrying real good. And we lived on a farm of some 500 acres. And people tend to poach and trespass in this state at will.
Oh, yeah.
And so long about evening, and at that point in time, my buddy and I were out deer hunting. I have never even so much as frightened a deer with a firearm, by the way. I'm a miserable shot. Not so bad with birds, but with deer, mm-mm. A buddy of mine once said that, he said, yeah, and I know you were sighting in your rifle the other day, Bob, and I heard a couple of bucks talking out in the field. I said, well, did you now? And he said, yeah, they were talking to each other about you. I said, well, what did I say? He said, listen, if that Kincaid guy points a gun at you, stand perfectly still. And the other buck said, what? And he said, yeah, stand perfectly still. Don't move. Now, that man can deliver you a lecture that will make you want to die on the spot. But if he fires at you and you move, he might actually walk one into you. Just stand still and he won't hit you. I mean, so that's how bad a shot I am. But anyway, so a couple of poachers come walking up the road to the house with loaded rifles in hand. And 7 months pregnant Agnes is in no mood for any crap.
Don't blame her.
And she walks out with a Smith & Wesson 9mm semi-automatic pistol, safety off, round already in the chamber, in a pink chenille bathrobe.
Oh, this is a great mental image.
Yeah, right?
Redheaded Viking warrior princess that she is. And she doesn't, you know, she doesn't take that Angie Dickinson police woman two-handed, you know, palm under the butt of the pistol pointed sternly at the, no. No, she got all Pulp Fiction and just pointed it at him sideways. Said, you boys need to get on down the road.
Wow.
And you know what? Those two redneck boys with their high-powered deer hunting rifles, it got away. They left in a hurry. OK,
because you don't, you just don't want to be on the receiving end of that. So while I acknowledge that it can happen, as often as not, the firearm saved the day thing is largely a fantasy.
Well, no, Bob, you're exactly right, and it's we've seen studies that have proven it, that the right wing have done. You know, after Charlie Hebdo attack, they did one, and they proved that if you lie down and play dead, that's how you survive. You know, because they think they've somehow miraculously shot you because they're stupid criminals, you know? And they or terrorists, for that matter. And that's what drives me nuts. The narrative is all wrong, and we bought into it for so long that we just need to be like, you know what? You keep saying we're going to take away your guns. You know, high time we did. Because if it's not Obama, it was Hillary. If it wasn't Hillary, it was the UN. You know what? Okay.
And yet, you know, they're going to protect freedom in case the jackbooted government thugs ever decide to put their government jack thug boots down on our freedom protecting necks. But all the freedom protectors are nowhere to be found in these situations.
Thank you. And they, I have this argument with a conservative friend of ours who sometimes joins the show. He says, well, exactly that, what you did. I want to use it for protection. And I said, you know what? If Obama drones you, you ain't protected with your AK-47.
You're never going to, they
coming.
Mm-mm. Or hear it.
Yeah.
Or nothing. I mean, they probably got sharks with freaking laser beams on drones now.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me. Amazon gift card right along with the... Hey,
and by the way, on my baseball bat theory, we have a little bit of affirmation coming via Ron in the recently frozen North. He says, an aluminum ball bat rings like a goddamn bell when applied directly to a beaver's skull. Twice. Mm-hmm. Bastard was digging up my pool liner, so we had a come-to-Jesus session. Mm-hmm.
See, we made it,
I personally have a taser cane, so...
Yes,
but
you put it on me, never a time.
That's not sexy as a sword cane, but I understand.
I know, and I really do want to get a sword cane, too, next, but I'm not even sure it's legal to carry it. You know, that's how... So I never actually take it out of the house. But my biggest question, and I pose it to both of you, plus the whole family, commune, congregation and stuff, is I was having this discussion with my son about it. You know, right before the beginning of the show. And I'm like, what can we do to get the younger generation to finally say enough is enough and do something? And he says, there's nothing you can do. It's just going to keep happening. And I keep arguing with him that if you guys all would stand up, you know, as a generation and say, we've had enough of this and do something to, you know, change the laws and everything.
But the young generation, Nikki, is no more monolithic than any other demographic portion of society.
Yeah. I mean, you got a point there. I mean, if we all stood up and said enough's enough, but I was trying to impress upon him why, because he's 17, he's going to be able to vote next, you know, in the primaries too, I found out, and in the next general election, I'm trying to get him interested. In you know, because you're going to be going out into the world here in 11 months and, you know, whatever days, and you're going to be an adult now, and I want you to be able to, you know,
I get shot.
Take responsibility, you know, and about that, and, you know, do something to help the country. And I just wish that, you know, we could get the younger generation involved.
They'll get involved when they want to get involved. That's one of those things that comes with age, I think, because it's too fun to be young and wrapped up in this stuff. Really. This is interesting. This just came in from Jack in Shreveport by way of explanation of a motive. Someone called K Street Hipster posted, a dispute at a holiday gathering may have sparked a mass shooting in San Bernardino that left 14 people dead and 17 others wounded on Wednesday morning. As many as three assailants who carried long guns and wore masks opened fire on a gathering of San Bernardino County employees around 11 a.m. A senior federal official who is monitoring the case said investigators believe one of the shooters left the party after getting into an argument and returned with one or two armed companions.
If so somebody worked there, or...
So if that's the case, it's even worse.
Yeah. No, again, this goes... Bob, as liberals and progressives, what we need to do, and this is my never humble opinion, is take away the damn guns. You've lost their privilege. You've lost it. We're taking them away. And besides, you keep telling us how we're going to do it. Now we're going to do it.
Yeah.
But then you got the people that are like, but I never did nothing wrong. Why do I have to?
Right. Know, and yeah, those and right, Nikki, those are the tender sensibilities that we have to take into account.
And no, they're not. And here's my answer to that. You didn't step up.
Yeah, you could have protected your own rights, but instead you were such a pusillanimous coward that you let we can't get a background check at a gun show. We can't close the gun show loophole. We can't have a waiting period. I mean, who on earth? I mean, okay, so most people have had one of those instances where you go, you're working on a project at home and you go, God damn it, you know, I can't find my Phillips head screwdriver. So you have to jump in the car and run down to the hardware store and buy a Phillips head screwdriver and come back so you can finish your little project.
Mm-hmm.
And that's understandable. Jesus, you know, here I am cleaning where I'm out of paper towels. So off you go for some paper towels. What situation do you have in life where you suddenly find yourself in need of a firearm and have to be able to run right down and buy yourself a Freedom Protector and go right back home?
Well, usually not a good one.
Well,
yeah, domestic. It's something not good.
So why is that not a good idea? A waiting period, a cooling off period.
I thought we had that.
Not everywhere. Not federally.
It's not federal.
I thought that was what the Brady Bill did.
And it's gone.
All of it?
And the assault weapons ban is gone. It was allowed to expire under Dim Leader.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's why they...
And like I said, back when we had the 7-day waiting period, the background check fax machine in the county where I lived, in the sheriff's office, the fax machine output was positioned over a garbage can.
Wow.
So they'd fax the background check, and the background check comes back, and it just goes in the garbage.
That's just so irresponsible. They should have been held accountable for that right there.
Well, that's not irresponsible. Second Amendment says everybody gets a gun. If I had my way, we'd have a law that says everybody has to have a gun, because Merca.
Well, and that's exactly it. So if... You have your way. The liberals are going to take away all your guns. Here I come.
You can have it when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers.
Okay. I'm okay.
And then there's me, who's afraid to go see Star Wars on opening day because it might get shot up.
Right. You know, and that's I'm kind of glad you brought that up, Nikki, because we have an operative philosophy for movie going here in this family. And it's called big screen worthy.
Yeah.
Is it something, I mean, you know, is it something where there's just so much visual that you have to see it on the big screen? Or are we going to be okay with this when it comes out, to wait till it comes out on video? Star Wars, okay, the last three really didn't do a whole lot of anything for me. But my God, I remember when the first one came out, standing in line in front of the movie theater, just, you know, standard definition, not even great, but you just walked out and your mind was blown. And so you kind of hope they're going to get that back.
Right.
And you'd like to go, and that's big screen worthy. Avatar was big screen worthy. Titanic was big screen worthy.
Shrek 2. I'm just going to throw that out there.
What was?
Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, we have to have an obligatory Star Trek reference every evening, so thanks for taking care of that, Tom.
You're very welcome.
In addition to big screen worthy, we, because of the NRA and because of all these tender-souled, lawful gun owners, bless their little hearts, we have to add to, so there's big screen worthy, and is it 3D worthy? And the next question after that is it worth taking your life into your own hands?
Yep.
And that's America. You know what? When Star Wars opens in in Sydney, there may be a calculation of big screen worthy and do we pay the extra for 3D and IMAX? But nobody's going to ask, "Am I taking my life into my own hands by going to the movies?"
Or in many places in Europe,
right? Yeah, that's not going to be a calculus in Berlin or Stockholm. Probably not Rome.
And that was my argument with my son, because he's like, "Oh, well, gun violence happens everywhere." I go, "No, it don't."
No, it really doesn't. That's something that's the America bubble making him think that.
Exactly.
Yeah, Marty says Star Wars 7 in 3D IMAX. I'll be there.
And Bob, you're making my case for me. Thank you. Take away the guns. I'm done.
Well, I think I read somewhere that it might be a localized story or not, but they were the local cinemas around here were not allowing anyone to dress up. No lightsabers, no nothing.
Damn sure no Darth Vader helmets.
Right.
No helmets, no makeup. They don't even want the Darth Maul makeup.
No Wookiees.
You know, because, you know, that ruins all the fun right there. Is half the time is waiting in line with the cosplayers, you know? So, it's, you know, it's just, I'm just is so disheartened anymore.
So here's the question, since Nikki's just starting and I'm done. When are we going to get candidates who are going to get on board with this? Because
when are you going to get a candidate? No, it's not when you're going to get one who gets on board. When are you going to get a candidate who can win?
When you get enough people like us and motivated. Because I know between our... we have enough candidates that can win in the Democratic Party when we spell out background checks and everything else. I know this even talking to, you know, the quiet gun owner who is a security guard. I have that friend, right? He's like, "Yeah, I totally want to. I don't want Obama to take away my gun." And I said, "Yeah, that ain't going to happen. I wish it would, but no." So since it's not, what about a background check? And he's like, "Yeah, I don't want to get shot at my job."
Yeah, but that security guard had to go through a background check.
Well, exactly.
And there are so many aspects to all of this. Why can't we? I mean, I think it would be reasonable. For instance, Devin, who feels like he has to have a weapon because the cops are an hour away, and I understand that. I live in West Virginia. I really understand that. I think if you actually rationally think it through, it probably doesn't stand the test of reason, but okay. So that's the case, and I'm sympathetic to that.
Me too.
But as Devin points out, taking away the guns equals hot civil war. And the thing in civil wars is that you don't often care much about who gets killed. Women, children, doesn't matter. Everybody's a target.
Bob.
Just like San Bernardino today.
Bob, we're there. Everybody's a target. So stop. Stop with the wondering about whether or not we're at a medium civil war, where law-abiding non-gun owners just want to live their lives, just want to go to the movies, just want to live and not worry about it, and are sick and tired of it, but are apathetic, and won't take away the guns.
Right, and see, I mean, this is just a little temperature check from the rest of the world. Robert's there listening every evening in Australia and is a longtime supporter of the program and provides a valuable counterpoint to, you know, life in the bubble in here. And under the subject line, "That's insane," Robert writes, "Risking your life to see a movie? That's insane."
Agreed.
But no, Robert, that's America. Agreed. And as Asa points out, it doesn't help, it doesn't matter if you wait for the film to come out on DVD because you're taking your life in your hands going to buy the DVD over to the Wally World.
Yep.
And that's the larger point in all of this. Because of the NRA, because of the lawful, awful gun owners, you take your life into your hands every day, everywhere.
Now so, I can't even go to a Christmas.
You want to go get your flu shot down to the Rite Aid? Well, hell, there may be some freedom protector come in there, all worried about the fact that they sell them slut pills, and y'all need to die.
Why should I care that it's going to happen anyway? Because I would rather, in the long run, even if it's a buyback program at this point, I don't give a damn. Good God.
I would be hugely. I wouldn't care if we ran the deficit from here to Mars for a buyback program.
I still think we should require people to have insurance.
Because we would save money on a net basis from people that we don't. Because again, okay, there's 14 dead in San Bernardino. There's that many injured. And again, there is nobody out there to pay their medical bills.
Nope.
Or funeral costs. Do you think any of them were prepared?
Well, but funeral costs are piss in the wind, Tom, compared to medical bills for a gunshot wound.
Well, that's true. No, you're right. You're right.
The NRA doesn't have a wounded innocent bystanders fund. But you know what? If we set up an insurance process federally, some portion of the proceeds could go to a fund to compensate people who are wounded, maimed, horribly injured by freedom protectors, either intentionally or negligently used.
There are solutions. Don't want that smart gun either.
No, they don't want that because, you know, a smart gun can only be used by its owner. We want a gun that can be used by anybody. Real-world rational solutions to all of this that don't require monumental hoop jumping. And the NRA stops them all. I go back to the story that I mentioned with Ron. The NRA has stopped a bill that would prevent people on the terrorist no-fly list from buying weapons in the United States of America.
And then they scream about terrorists. Oh my God!
Yeah, and one of those Looney Tunes from Texas that got sent to the Congress said, "Well, we can't let them Syrian refugees get in here because it's too easy to get guns in Texas."
Amen.
But it's too easy for them to get guns. It's not too easy for God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, Christian, patriotic, patriot American freedom protectors to get with. No,
I forget who said the quote about, well, if more people in the Planned Parenthood shooting that happened last week had guns, this wouldn't have been a problem. And the first comment I sent back was, yeah, because, you know, it's really easy for me to fire and hit my target while I'm up in the stirrups. You know, so I got to have
you got to lead them a little bit when you're in. But the thing is, though, the neat thing is, though, Nikki, if you're good at it, you can use the stirrups as aiming sights.
There you go. See?
And you just kind of lean, lick your thumb, and lean forward and flick it to knock a, to knock to clear the, to clear the, to clear, yeah, the, to clear the haze like Sergeant York did.
You don't want to ever say that about me. I'm a little creepy. but
giddy up.
But here's the thing, Bob. How is it? Because yesterday I would have been okay with it, just a buyback program. Today, I want to be. Am I wrong to want to be as militant as they are?
No, you're not.
No, because everybody should be entitled to their opinion.
Yeah, but I'd be a little careful where I voice that opinion, because these bastards will shoot you.
I've been dead before, so whatever.
Not by a gunshot.
I've had woken up from a catheter before, so I'm sure it's not much different. And that wasn't fun. So, whatever. But
and by the way, had a comment from Robert up near Morgantown, y'all. He said, "You think today was bad? Someday in the not too distant future, it'll be 50 to 100 dead when you get a gunman who really means business."
Oh God, I just don't even want to think about it. But yet he's right.
He's not wrong. That's why I'm so adamant about this. I don't, you know, because all they do on the right, it goes back to that, is they scream bloody murder about how we're going to do it, and nobody has. So, liberals, get some balls and do it. Progressives, get some balls and do it. Democratic socialists. Because they're going to use that rhetoric, so we might as well slap them around with it finally. Because I'm tired of seeing dead people.
Yeah, and you know what? Insurance, I'm really concerned about Devin's concern earlier. Look, insurance is all, if you've ever bought car insurance, for instance.
Gotta have it in Ohio.
You know that they ask a lot of questions. What do you use your car for? How many miles do you drive a year? How many different people are going to drive the car? All these things affect your rates.
Mm-hmm.
So if your shotgun is something you keep in the closet and you keep the ammunition separate from it, or you use a trigger lock, or you've got a gun safe or something like that, those could all go to reduce your rates.
Right.
If you've got one, your rates are going to be lower than they are if you've got 50. If you've got pistols, your rates are going to be higher than if you've got the shotgun. If you've got, if your pistol holds 20 rounds instead of 6, your rates are going to be higher for 20 than for 6. If it's a semi-automatic, your rates are going to be higher than if it's a single shot or a bolt action or something like that. This is not rocket science. This is actuarial accounting.
But here's the problem. And this is my democratic socialist, more socialist than Bernie Sanders coming out. We're going to give a company money to insure, and then they might deny the insured because capitalism. And I have a real problem with that. Now, if we were to talk about a government entity that was a well-regulated for yada, 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 I would be more with you.
But that's big government, Tom.
Well, if they want to keep their guns, that's the only way they're going to do it.
I mean, I was mostly, you know, thinking about the insurance factor because, you know, this would keep people who leave their gun out for their toddler to shoot themselves with. Maybe they would be a little bit more responsible if they knew they would be held accountable.
Well, I'll take little steps forward anywhere I can find them. This comes from The Hill, and it's a good reason to have some respect for Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. he of course, in the way as news of today's today's lottery loser broke, of course, there's a, our thoughts and prayers are with the victims and their families, which is a shorthanded way of saying we don't give a flying duck what happened.
Back.
So we're going to pray. We're going to pray in one hand and shit in the other one and see which one fills up first.
Because if that God really were around and cared, he'd have done something by now.
Yeah. So,
sorry to those
so
who
Chris
are.
Murphy tweeted, your thoughts should be about steps to take to stop this carnage. Your prayers should be for forgiveness if you do nothing again. That's kind of ballsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Murphy, being originally from Connecticut, he is not liked by the right, and that's why I like him a lot.
He said, my heart aches for the people of San Bernardino. I cannot express the profound sadness I feel each time a new community grieves and endures the same pain that brought Newtown to its knees 3 years ago this month. As we await the facts from the chaos on the ground, I can only pray that America's leaders will do something, anything, that prevents more communities from knowing this sorrow. And of course, there is something. That's something. Eddie Munster, Speaker Eddie Munster, said in response to the fact that they were not going to do anything about about people on the terrorist no-fly list being able to buy all the guns they want here in Merca, he said, the problem is mental illness.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big insult to all the people who are just mentally disabled. That's great. That's just totally
or mentally ill. They just, you know, not always mentally
well,
disabled.
Well, yeah. You know what I mean. That came out wrong. You're correct. Thanks, Nikki. See, she always saves the day. Like Supergirl.
And yeah. just to share a couple of emails with y'all, Luda pointed out a little bit ago, Bob, even that white dude who flew his plane into the IRS building back in 2005 wasn't called a terrorist. In fact, Louis Don't Touch My Asparagus Gohmert said he was a hero standing up for Merkin values, you know, by flying a plane into an IRS building. Right.
Oh.
Ray in Florida says, if we as a whole do not demand gun regulation now, it is as much our fault as anyone's. Apathy has a price. There is no one else that will fix this. Yeah, that's the if not us, who, if not now, when argument. And we're running out of who's and when's.
Yes.
And let's see here. Roger, out in Oregon, says, when the shooting, bracket, location, is the message, location, location, location. Last time, Colorado Springs, home of Fort Carson, as in Dr. Penn. This time, San Bernardino, Bernard Sanders, Democrat in name only.
Mm.
The little ironies are always there. They're always there.
I was thinking about your protest idea with the NRA.
Yeah.
You said that there have been, what, 355 mass shootings this year or thereabouts?
Yeah, there have been more mass shootings than days on the calendar.
Yeah, so yes. Let's say we gather up 400 people, bring them down to Virginia, have a die-in, silent die-in. No protest, nothing.
They'll just look at us and go, look at those silly people.
Yeah, it's going to any meaningful protest in the D.C. area that is going to mean that's going to have any effect has to be longer than a day. It has to be committed. Because, I mean, I've been involved in some. You can't even get the local D.C. media to come out and cover one. Because there's one somewhere every day. I mean, when we were working up in D.C. on the AIC Act, there was always some Lyndon LaRouche loon over on the corner of like First and Pennsylvania or something, or first and wow, whatever. And he always, a big placard, you know, Obama is a war criminal, and the Kenyan Muslim, blah blah blah, and it, because it, you know, it's endemic to the location. Meanwhile, our buddy Jay Cruzen says the math is easy for gun insurance. There are over 300 million legally sold firearms in this country. At $3.33 a month, policy per gun makes $1 billion a month pool for insurance company profit and easily provides to victims of wrongful death caused by a firearm. Only problem, you'd need a registry, and that will never happen.
That's a lot of money.
That's why the government would have to do it. A progressive Congress.
Well, Ray says the same thing. You know, it's a Second Amendment right, and that's where you run into trouble.
But they're taking that right, you know, to the extremist frickin' level possible at this point. You know, you have a right to have a firearm. You don't have a right to go out and shoot up a bunch of people.
Right, and the language of the Second Amendment, once we ignore, as we always do, the well-regulated militia part, says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be, right?
Fringed.
What about my right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
Yeah, sorry, that's just Declaration of Independence language, and it doesn't count.
Yeah.
That's not right in the Constitution.
I'm not like Rand Paul, Mr. Plagiarizer in Chief.
But just to sort of follow this through a little bit, it says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, we're not saying you can't keep and bear arms. We're saying that brainstorming here, but we're not saying you can't have a gun. You just can't. If you have a gun, you must have insurance.
How about
no one says you can't own a car, but if you own a car, you must have insurance.
Yep.
Bob, how about this one? If you have insurance, because you've had insurance and you've already paid up and yada, 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 and you're willing voluntarily to have insurance, you don't have to go through all these hoops. Like, if you know how they like to put people through welfare and on public assistance and safety net programs through hoops?
I do.
You know, why don't we make law-abiding gun owners go through yearly hoops so we just know that everything's okay? And we just know that they're still law-abiding gun owners. Because the right wing likes to tell us all the time, if you're doing nothing wrong, what's a little harm?
What do you have to fear?
Yeah, what do you have to fear? So I'm willing to take that to their level and play dirty pool with their wordage, but only put it into law, where if there's nothing wrong, then you could do these steps and you keep your gun. Or you pay your insurance voluntarily and you don't have to do those because you're already doing that and you get either or. You provide them a choice of how to say yes.
And it would create jobs.
Yeah, true.
Meanwhile, Steve says from New York in an email, evil triumphs when good people do nothing. Bob, we are responsible. But you know what? It's learned helplessness. Somehow it has gotten into the national psyche that we can't do anything. I know I feel completely helpless. And that's why, you know, that's why I'm trying to put it out there that, you know, there are ways to think into this problem. The right wing desperately wants to have a constitutional convention. Okay. They'll probably, when they decide, when they've got enough votes, they'll have it. It's never been done. The state mechanism for calling a constitutional convention has never been accomplished. It's never even tried. But they're going to get their way, and there need to be some people committed to going into that room and saying, "Okay, Second Amendment's gone. Gone, you bastards, gone." Now they'll probably turn around and shoot that person.
Bob, I agree with you because I've said repeal and replace the Second Amendment on my show. Nikki, how long have I been saying that? Repeal.
Over a year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been saying
since we've been on air, so yeah.
I'm not, and I don't mind getting shot for it. So, you know.
It might be my me. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you'll tase me, so I'm whatever. But, I mean, I don't want to overstay my welcome, but I don't know. Bob, honestly,
And wasn't this, like, the third mass shooting today?
It was the second today. And there is an update. There's a Vince tells me there's a police or there's a press conference going on now. The police have announced that two suspects are dead, one male, one female. An officer's been wounded with non-life-threatening injuries. They were armed with assault rifles and handguns, and there were other sensitive items in the vehicle. They have a third person detained, and they don't know if the person was involved. A search has been wrapped up, and they feel it's no longer needed to shelter in place. No motive yet. They're not that far into the investigation.
Yeah, we won't know for days.
I want to know what that sensitive information is.
No, sensitive items? Possible bombs.
Ah.
See, early on, they thought they were dealing with a live IED inside the building.
Oh, my goodness. See, this is what I get for sleeping all day.
The witnesses have described, according to the New York Times, a wild gun battle with the men in the SUV firing on the police and the police firing back as nearby residents hid in their homes behind locked doors. When the shooting stopped, one gunman remained on the run, and law enforcement officers, many armed and tactical gear, swarmed to the neighborhood, going door-to-door hunting for the suspect.
Oh, how frightening.
Video footage from television helicopters circling overhead showed a bullet-riddled black SUV, similar to the one witnesses described seeing the suspects flee in earlier in the day. One suspect could be seen on the street outside the SUV in its pool of blood. Another was still in the vehicle, but that person's condition was unclear. Manhunt continued for the third person with law enforcement, so we now know they've got three. But can we take a moment and just... And just remember something. This is every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming every day in America.
Mm-hmm.
But this is every damn day in Iraq. This is every damn day in Syria. And in both of those instances, to the extent that this is homegrown terrorism, we have to remember that chickens do come home to roost. And that this is a matter of, well, what happened in San Bernardino, what happened in Colorado Springs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is merely the domestic version of what we routinely export. Just in the last couple of weeks, we've signed off on another godforsaken deal to provide more godforsaken bombs to our good friends, the good headloppers, our partners in peace, the Saudis.
Mm.
The dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking Saudis. And I'm not talking about ordinary human beings. I'm talking about their rotten, repulsive, royal, serene, majestic, noble, graciousness ruling family. You know, the people who helped facilitate September 11th, 2001. The people who were allowed to flee this country when nobody else could get on an aircraft.
On Air Force One. Just shameful.
So, you know, another... Another day gone to hell, and the New York Times is now publishing. Investigators believe that one of the gunmen had worked at the facility and recently had a dispute with fellow employees. A witness has told police that although the gunmen had their faces covered, one of them sounded and appeared very similar to an employee who had left the facility earlier in the day. They had their appearances covered, but a witness believed it had been someone who worked there. Then, of course, the chief of police, Chief Burwan, said, "We have no information at this point to indicate this is terrorist-related in the sense that people may have been thinking. We have a domestic terrorism-type situation that occurred here." But it's not domestic terrorism. It's a domestic terrorism-type situation. It's domestic terrorism, until we ascertain whether or not any of these people were Negroes, we can't call it domestic terrorism.
Jesus.
So here's the question, Bob. How many more days until we get a new one? Since we recently
I can't do that, Tom.
Three hours and 15 less than 15 minutes left in today. Tomorrow starts a new day.
There's still time.
I mean, it scares the bejesus out of me that tomorrow I'm going to wake up to another one of these damn things.
Well, don't be scared, Tom. You are going to wake up to another one of these things.
Yeah.
It may not be tomorrow. It may not be the day after. Maybe we'll make it all the way to Saturday. But you're going to. There's going to be. I mean, the stuff that doesn't show up. I had a story out of, I think, San Antonio of a guy who shot his neighbor in the head because he said his parked car was blocking his driveway. So the guy goes in the house, comes out with a gun, and shoots his neighbor in the head.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
See, it's just people just default to that line of thinking immediately. And that's the problem. It's the thoughts. We need to stop thinking that that's the solution to all of the problems.
You know, maybe the Republicans are right. We shouldn't do a damn thing about climate change and let the Earth just take care of its own. Now I'm back to that. You see where I flip-flopped today?
And as we get closer and closer to Christmas, the more insanity happens.
Oh, I think so. Let's see. We have a request coming in from Jay Cruzen. Hey, Bob, do this in your best Sam Elliott voice. No one's saying you can't own a gun. No one's even saying you can't carry a gun. All we're saying is you can't carry a gun in town. Now, that's not so bad, is it? Virgil Earp. Replace in town with without insurance. All we're saying is you can't carry a gun without insurance.
That's pretty good, too.
I don't disagree, but I don't think the... Without the appropriate Congress, you're never going to have it happen. And the one we have right now, it's never, ever going to happen unless, you know...
Well, that's true, because they do nothing.
Well, unless that Mars Attacks thing happens, and then, you know, whatever.
They'll cow down to the Mars overlords. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's true.
Obama is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see here. We've got some sound from... President, not sure. Let's see what he had to say about all of this. This is from CBS News.
Is that we have a pattern now of mass shootings in this country that has no parallel anywhere else in the world, and there are some steps we could take not to eliminate every one of these mass shootings, but to improve the odds that they don't happen as frequently. Common sense gun safety laws, stronger background checks. And, you know, for those who are concerned about terrorism, you know, some may be aware of the fact that we have a no-fly list where people can't get on planes, but those same people who we don't allow to fly could go into a store right now in the United States and buy a firearm, and there's nothing that we can do to stop them. That's a law that needs to be changed. My hope is that we're able to contain this particular shooting, and we don't yet know what the motives of the shooters are. But what we do know is that there are steps we can take to make Americans safer, and that we should come together in a bipartisan basis at every level of government to make these rare as opposed to normal. We should never think that this is something that just happens in the ordinary course of events, because it doesn't happen with the same frequency in other countries.
reasonable, rational, and probably not as strong as we would like.
Right.
Nope.
Nope. Well, I tell you what, Nikki and Tom, it has been a blast having you as part of the conversation out here on the ledge.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm out of smokes now, but hey.
It's all my fault.
And we're only minutes away from gas station pizza, so yum, yum.
Well, Bob, you be safe, and thank you so much for another great show, and thank you for letting me be a part of it.
For having us on, yes.
Oh, absolutely a pleasure, both of you. Always a pleasure. Welcome anytime. Y'all take care. Nikki and Tom from FYI Nation, FYINation.com. And seriously, I really do appreciate the time out here on the ledge with me because you just run out of words. I mean, even the great Charlie Pierce. Go read his take on all of this. We were supposed to learn last time, and the time before that, he titled it. He says, I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm glad. I mean, I'm not glad. That's wrong. But at least I'm not the only one who has been rendered almost dumbstruck by all of this. Charlie says, I don't even know what to say anymore. The only things that seem newsworthy about what happened in San Bernardino are the circumstances of the murders. The facts on the ground, as first reported, are as strange as they are garish. Yeah. And go read the whole post, because he is as trenchant and intelligent in his observations as anyone in this country. Jay Cruzen says, my Sam Elliott was horrible. Have you ever even seen the movie? Yeah, I have, but not enough to remember the clip. I'll have to go and review it, Jay Cruzen. Sorry, they're not always winners. Steve in New York says, thanks, Bob, for tonight. And in response to the president's remarks, Steve says, here's a common sense gun law. Ban them. Oh, great. Subject line from Tim from L.A. Breaking, another fucking shooting. A wanted felon was killed and a Denver police SWAT officer was injured during a shooting Wednesday afternoon in the Sloan's Lake area of Denver. Happened near the intersection of West 25th Avenue and Lowell Street. An FBI spokesman told 9 News that Denver PD was helping the Rocky Mountain Safe Streets Task Force serve a warrant out of Thornton. The suspect, who was wanted for a shooting, had been in and out of prison for more than a decade, was considered armed and dangerous, but is not the man sought in last month's violent Lakewood bank robbery. So there's another one out there. And yes, as Roger notes, add the Savannah shooting this morning. Traffic is blocked on West 33rd between Barnard and Bull Streets as officers investigate. Roger also points out, in regard to gun insurance, unlike most insurances, where demonstrated competence generally results in a lower rate, the better shot one is, the higher their gun insurance premium should be. I don't know, maybe it should be IQ-based, Roger. The dumber you are, the higher your rates should be. If you've got a Freedom Protector purse, or a Freedom Protector bra, or a Freedom Protector jock strap, yeah. I want to thank Gary Laborman, our buddy, for his kindly response to our anonymous challenge this evening. It has been met. Thank you very kindly. Laborman says, "I got nothing," and I think that's kind of where we all are. You'd like to do something. We ache to do something. And there's a lot of goodwill in this country. But it is drowned out by the blood-soaked money that pours like a river in flood out of the offices of the National Rifle Association. Yeah. Thanks also go out this evening to Glenn for chipping in and helping. It is much appreciated. And I really appreciate all of you for taking what was a difficult evening. And while the sadness and the heartache and the anguish doesn't go away, coupled as it is with the knowledge that there will be another one of these, well, together, we find a way toward tomorrow. And I can never thank you enough, all of you, for all of that. Ron says, thanks, Bob. It was edifying and bothersome, but it was useful. Shining a light on this bullshit will always be useful. Meanwhile, an IQ test would immediately run into challenges because it discriminates against Republicans and teabaggers. And yes, Ron says, there will be another evening like this soon. Carol Baker says, you got that really well. Got through that really well. Proud of you. Well, thank you, Carol, for being out there on the virtual ledge with me. A little hand-holding goes a long way. Thank you, one and all. We'll see if we can cover something else besides America's NRA death lottery tomorrow evening on Thorn in the Side Thursday. No music. No nothing. Good night, y'all.